And I like big boobs, little boobs, fat boobs, juicy boobs, lactating boobs, black boobs, yellow boobs, all kinds of boobs, man.
So on the last road trip I went on, driving, and I see a car with a whole bunch of Hatsune Miku stickers on the back. And this is like some dumb minivan. I'm like, okay, I have to know what this guy looks like. And I'm picturing like some weird like neckbeard guy, you know, a typical anime fanboy.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It looked like a normal, like healthy dad.
Healthy
like,
dad?
I mean, like he's probably like 45, just a normal guy.
Works at a tech company somewhere.
Yeah. Exists. Huh. And that really took me by surprise. I thought that was kind of funny.
You profiled them. You're a bigot.
I know. I did. No, it's like the other day I was at a gas station and the guy at the gas pump in front of me, I noticed was wearing a, what is it? Madoka Magica shirt.
Madoka.
And I just made a comment like, hey man, I like
nice shirt, loser. And then you pour gasoline on him, and then you suffocate
and then
the fumes.
Toss my cigarette.
Yeah, you toss your cigarette at him and burn him alive. So if you're looking into the case, Steven's the primary suspect now.
He doesn't live anymore.
He doesn't live anymore. He says,
one time he went outside of his house. And guess wearing a fucking anime shirt.
That's like that time that I saw an Irishman on the side of the road and I pelted him with potatoes. Anyways, this is the Three Weebos, but it's only two of us this time, and it's not the two you expect.
Nope.
We are Declan-less this week on the Three Weebos. And it's just
a revolt.
It's an
uprising.
We overthrew him. We were having enough of his
revolution.
Shit. He's like, oh, we have to watch obscure bullshit all the time. You guys can't review albums. Fuck you. Fuck you. We can review whatever
this
we want.
This is my podcast.
This is our podcast.
We are the people taking back. We own the means.
We're bringing it back.
We are bringing it back.
Yeah.
We're going to seize the means of production.
This is a pirate podcast.
Yes.
We're broadcasting out of a secret bunker.
And literally on top of a cardboard
you
box.
You are the revolution.
Yes, you are part of it. You're listening to this. That's how you know you're a true fan.
Not just
anybody listens to this.
You're
special.
Underground episode of the Three Weebos. As you can hear air raid sirens going on in the background. There's planes flying overhead. They're looking for us.
Because
we're not supposed to be recording something so raw.
Oh, man, I'm sure there's snipers looking out the window. There's helicopter and police lights shining through the window trying to find us.
Oh, man.
Our silhouettes are... There's red lasers all around the
room. There's zeppelins. It's like the Batman opening. Yeah, this is Ethan.
And this is Steven. It's the better half.
The better
two-thirds.
He wasn't able to finish the show on time this week, and we
right,
just couldn't
yeah.
have him on.
He
tried to watch all of it in one day, which is
absolutely
crazy.
What a fucking idiot.
What a fucking idiot.
I can't believe someone would do that.
He's so disrespectful and irresponsible.
You know, Declan doesn't finish anything. He really doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, half the shows he watches, he doesn't even finish. But finished something.
We finished a show together in one sitting.
So it wasn't exactly a show.
We watched Koei de Oshigoto, the animation, and this is an OVA it aired from 2010 to 2011.
Really?
Two episodes.
That's older than I thought.
30 minutes a pop. This is an R+ rated show for mild nudity, as we'll talk about later. And the English title is Working with Voice.
Ooh.
Or that's the translated title. Yeah. So it is a product of Studio Gokumi, who you may know for Kinero Mosaic. And A-Channel. Koei de Oshigoto is an ecchi comedy about porn voice actors.
Yes.
It's quite something. So the protagonist is Kana Aoyagi.
Just Kana.
Aoyagi.
Kana is all you need.
Yeah, Kana. She's only really referred to as Kana. She is recruited by her sister.
Older sister.
Who wants her to voice act in her porn games. So Kana's sister works in the porn game industry.
Does she test porn games? Is that what...
She's a director.
A
director. So the show opens with a porn voice acting session.
Yep.
And the sister just can't do any of it. This is a flash forward in a sense to what's going to go down.
She's too embarrassed to do anything.
Because she's so innocent and pure.
Right, of course.
As you can... Based on their actions and everything. I think the real narrative of this is the corruption of the youth.
I doubt that's what they're going
the,
for.
The temptations and the lifestyle of the porn industry is too seductive. Well,
I mean, that would be true if, like, she went out on the streets and everyone's, like, pointing and laughing at her, or, like...
Yeah, but then she loves it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I like becomes... when people watch me, and then she comes, yeah. So,
I made a joke that this show was directed by Lars von Trier. You've seen the Golden Hearts.
Sexual aggression.
Yes, just completely destroyed by society.
So, her sister tries to convince her to voice act.
Yaoi?
Yayoi. It's two Y's in the name. It's all out the window. I don't know how to pronounce anything.
They're
two
all
Y's
vowels.
Their name is Vowel Girl. Is tries to convince her to voice act. She's like, I can't possibly do that. And then she bumps into her mother, and she's like, hey, Yayoi has been saving money for your education. And she's like, oh, I feel bad now. So I'm gonna try to be a porn voice actress. Yes. She agrees to do it, and she goes into the studio, and she starts practicing.
The first steps is her sister, like, you know, they're in a room, like a computer room, and she has two words written on a board: penis and pussy. Kind of needs to be able to say these, and she can't.
She struggles to get those out.
But when she did get pussy out, she ended up just screaming it out of frustration, and then she's like super embarrassed. And then instantly, a guy walks in, and she thought she was like alone in the room with her sister. Guy walks in, is like, "Hey, what's all the screaming about?"
So she's not doing super great, and she goes to observe a recording session of another voice actress. Uh-huh. And she's so impressed with the other voice actress's abilities that she feels like she's, quote unquote, really there.
Yeah.
And she starts to visualize other voice actors getting fucking nailed.
They go at it. This is good stuff.
Hardcore explicit sex happening, like, pretty much within the first 10 minutes of the show.
No, even in the OP, we see nipples.
Yeah. There's some serious lewdness in this show.
I love like the shots of the different stuff going on in the game. So there is slight censorship over nipple, like the nipples, vagina. Yeah, that's about
the
it.
The genital area is
but
obscured.
Even the censors are hilarious because they'll like squish and like move and stuff.
Yeah, they'll move as if the genitals.
Like, there's one of just like this sweaty mess of a woman lying there with jizz flying all over her body, and it's like this is a cute anime show about a 16-year-old. Like where does this fit in?
So she gets kind of turned on by this,
of course,
and
naturally.
This is where the beginning of the corruption. You can see her innocent shell starts to crack, and she gets exposed to all this adult content.
Only a year before she's on the streets.
She continues to struggle to say lewd things like penis, you know, like shit like that. For homework, she has to play porn games to like get acclimated.
Why couldn't my homework be like this?
You're working in the wrong industry. I don't know what to say. You should have been a girl.
A career change.
I'm pretty sure she busts a nut or is about to.
Oh,
bust
yeah, yeah.
A
she
nut.
Has she has the insane ability to just destroy herself
without
touching anything.
Yeah, which is pretty. It's a
great skill.
It's a blessing and a curse, I'm sure. So she almost busts a nut while playing the porn game, and then her phone rings, and she's like, "Wait a minute!" And she goes to put the phone in her pants, and that's when you start to get like, "Oh man, something's bad."
She's ruined.
So she has to practice her dick sucking sounds.
Yep.
Because as a voice actress, like, there's no sound effects, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
So she starts to suck her own finger in the class, her classroom at school, and her friends walk up to her like, "What were you just doing?" I was like, "No, nothing. And it's an awkward scene.
Her mouth is a warehouse of saliva. There's an incredible amount. There's more saliva in this show than all of Nazo no Konjo X.
It's amazing that she can talk with so much fluid in her mouth at all times.
I don't know why she's always salivating.
She's like an X-Men or something.
Yeah,
like, sure.
But that's quite an unfortunate superpower there. And her saliva is very semen-like.
Yeah,
I could say
that it's quite viscous, yeah. So she goes to work, and for the recording session, she has to suck her coworker's finger. Like, this was the direction from her sister, is like, suck this guy's finger. And she starts dribbling all over the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's getting on the script.
This is supposed to be hot, but it's just so ridiculous.
It is,
and
so much.
She grows, like, proper lips out of nowhere during these scenes. Uh-huh. And there's more detail to her face and, like, the way her face is. And there's a loving debauch put into every frame of her when she's doing sex stuff.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely rancid. And she is like, okay, it's not working, so she's got to go for a run to, like, work herself up. That's what her sister has to do.
Yeah.
And so she goes for a run, and when she gets back, she's really worked up, and
she's panting hard, like,
Yeah, and she has to suck the finger again, and she just starts dribbling all over the script. Her spit is dripping onto the script that she's supposed to be reading.
Well, no, like, even the guy that she's, like, so the guy that she's sucking the finger of, like, he's just a regular, like, guy.
And he, but he's not, like, into it. He's cool. He's not even remotely into it at all.
Because he's experienced. He's gone through this before.
He has removal from it.
Yeah, yeah, he's... It doesn't do anything for him anymore.
He's already broken.
But, yeah. But he just sits there with a smile on his face.
When she's being... When she's sucking that finger, there is less life in her eyes. It's kind of weird. Like, there's
he doesn't even move. Well, of course, because she's sucking a finger.
There's a gradient over her eyes. Like, she enters this... What do they call it? Her state?
A trance?
Yeah, she enters a trance when she's recording a massive whore.
So when she has to suck his finger the first time, there's a lot of really funny dialogue. Where, you know, like, that are in the porn games or just things that the characters say. Like, in the porn games, one of the lines was, like, the girl is yelling, like, I want your dick to mess up my insides.
Yeah, there's
Or the guy, when she has to suck his finger, she's like, oh, I need to get spit on your finger. Oh, no, that's okay, because it's yours.
Like, that doesn't make
that's,
things...
That's kind of uncomfortable.
So, she actually comes during the recording session, which everybody knows. This is... She's traumatized. She must be traumatized by this, because her sister knows that she just orgasmed in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, as you said, they're going to need a new chair, because she dribbled all over the place. And the guy just kind of smiles at this.
He doesn't do much of him smile.
Yeah. And apparently this is unprecedented. No voice actress has been able to come while recording before, right. And that's just really impressive. There's a character in the show that every time he shows up, he just says that his dick is getting hard.
It's really out of context, usually. Like, he's talking to her, to Kana, about, like, oh, you're 16? Oh, you go to high school? Yeah, you wear the uniforms? My dick is getting hard.
It's just things that if you heard it in real life, you would be like, oh, this guy's unstable. We need to go.
Yeah.
Like, these are things that you don't say, and he just says it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be, like, an isolated incident, but it becomes his catchphrase that his dick is getting hard.
No, I love it, because, like, now we know that that's a joke and not the writers.
Is it a joke
just
or is
being
he,
weird?
Is he like, a terrifying
I,
man?
I don't know if any of the writers think that the things that these characters say are normal.
I think this entire show is built for jokes.
This character that really proved that to me.
So he says, my dick is getting harder about the 16-year-old girl in front of the 16-year-old girl's sister.
Who then, like, tackles
the guy. But, like, not have him arrested?
Well, of course not. You need him for some reason.
Kana goes to school the next day, and guys are just staring at her now.
Oh, this is great. This is really good.
Kana starts to talk to her friends about it. Like,
her two female friends.
Talk about how all guys want to do, like, when guys look at them, all they're thinking of is just railing the shit out of
and
them.
They're visualizing, like, the guys just, you know.
Fucking their brains out. They think that all guys are sex perverts, which is true. This is factual.
Yes, there's nothing new here.
So, Kaizu,
the boy.
Who's a boy, confesses or goes to confess to Kana after class.
Well,
but
everyone thinks, because he's been staring at her.
Yeah.
And her friends are like, ooh, he's going to confess to you. And she's all nervous because she doesn't really want a confession because she's still, like, ashamed by what she does.
But it turns out he's not actually confessing to her. He's just asking if she does porn voice acting, which is the worst, the last thing you want to hear as a porn voice actress who's 16 and still in high school.
Yeah.
Is that guys know that you do porn?
After that, we had a discussion, like, okay, like, does he know that if you say something like, oh, I recognize that woman over there, she's in a porn film, that means you watch porn.
Yeah.
Like, if the guy can recognize her from a porn game, that means he plays porn games.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case.
So it's
anime.
It's the most obvious shit ever.
Yeah, yeah.
That he is also a porn voice actor, and I called that they were going to have to do a scene together because, of course, and it turns out, she goes in the studio and they have to do a scene together. Like, he's going to read her lines.
And it's like a pretty intense scene.
Yeah.
It's not for beginners.
It is in a game called Semen Dependent Syndrome.
Yes.
Which
semen
is the
Dependent
funniest,
Syndrome.
Which is the funniest fucking name on the planet.
It's really good.
I don't remember where this line is. It's somewhere in here where his sister says, it doesn't feel like you're licking a dick to Kana, which I just thought was hilarious.
No, she's asking, like, because she's still super innocent. She doesn't know anything. Mm-hmm. So she's asking, like, all the producers and actors.
What
and
does
stuff,
cum taste like?
Yeah. It's like, she asks, like, why do people get blowjobs? And then the guy, the dick hard guy, dick hard, that's his name.
Hard dick guy.
Dick hard.
Okay.
You know, he goes on a whole frenzy and stuff, is saying why blowjobs are great, and that if he physically could, he would give himself a blowjob. but he can't, so he has to get a girl to do it, because if you got a guy to do it, that'd be a little
But then
weird.
He's like, suggests like, hey, you need to know what cum tastes like. You should fucking drink my juice.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not a, that's not appropriate. I
no,
think that,
no.
I think that qualifies as sexual harassment.
He said, I will let you suck my dick.
Yeah.
Lick my dick.
Yeah, I've tried that line before. It doesn't go over super well.
I will let you.
So this game is absolutely fucking filthy. These girls are getting covered in jizz. Like,
fuck stupid.
They're getting fucked retarded.
fuck dumb.
I can't believe they get away with so much jizz in this thing. Yep. Like, it offends my sensibilities, and I like watching girls get nutted on. it's quite something. So they start censoring certain words at this point.
I think it's
in the second episode they started censoring certain things. Like,
right.
The word cum is censored now. Like, when people say it gets bleeped out, which is just weird. Yeah, so then they have the discussion about whether or not cum is tasty. So
they say it tastes like condensed milk.
They lied to her. That's a lie. Because they want her to think that it's tasty so that she acts better. Like, they want her to act like she likes it rather than knowing that junk jizz is actually gross, which is mind games. That's you got to get in the mind of a director,
right.
Man. It's really, this is some behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, it's good. The people who made this know what they're doing.
So they decide that it would be good for her to watch the high, like, she has to give the high school kid a boner, Kaizo.
Yeah.
It's a game where she has to say the hottest shit she can to get him to get hard.
Right.
And they're all going to watch, which is like the most traumatizing thing for everybody involved.
Yeah.
These are now officially broken people. Their eyes will be glassy for the rest of their lives.
Yep. They'll look at everybody with that thousand yard stare.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what she says. It was probably something
It was something about being innocent.
Yeah. She's never done it before.
Yeah, yeah. I'm new to this. You know, I've never done this before.
But I want to taste your fucking cum or something. Yeah. I don't know. This show is fucking filthy. So Kaizo and Kana go to a gas station, and like, he gets a soda and she gets a popsicle.
So every time they talk about like work-related things, her friends think that like they're dating.
Yeah. Which is, it's a weird subplot because it doesn't really go anywhere.
Well, no, it kind of does, because it sets up like, or if you're not dating, what are you doing? Like, what are you talking about?
But it doesn't really
add
anything.
And she can't say like, oh, we're talking about the porn scene we're going to do.
So she licks the fuck out of its popsicle. She goes into full sex monster mode and she's
dribbling.
I'd be
disappointed if they didn't do that.
They get back in the studio, record a scene, and she sucks on homeboy's finger.
Yep.
And she's dribbling all over the place again. They talk about getting really method, so like, you should probably fuck them for the scene.
Yeah.
I think this is all the big game at this point, and they're not actually making a game at all, and they're gonna make these kids fuck so they can watch.
Oh, well, yeah. It's crazy. I don't know the industry, but I would assume too, if you were gonna be a good porn actress or a good porn voice actress, you should probably have sex.
It's like the Haruhi voice actress. That's what she was doing. She really wanted to get into character, so she fucked an entire band. And now there will never be a Haruhi season 3. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
I didn't know that. That's...
Well, no, it wasn't actually her being method. She was just kind of... She just wanted to fuck an entire band. And
the voice actress?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, good for her.
that's great. I did not...
She'll never work again.
that's... So Haruhi is something special now.
They talk about getting method. Instead, they go for a hug. And she's never been hugged before, and it gets her really turned on. And she enters the trance state that we talked about earlier. Now that she's fully corrupted, she can get into character and deliver some hard fucking voice acting.
Hard fucking, yeah.
Hard dick guy mentions that he's hard again.
Hard as rock. Rock hard.
Oh, yeah, his dick's as hard as rocks.
His dick is rock hard, that's what he said.
Something like that. And now she is fully corrupted. They start to censor the word pussy. The show ends with slapstick comedy. As she goes to go into class the next day after their scene that they recorded together, and she sees that he's there, and she just fucking bolts.
She's embarrassed because she orgasmed again.
Yeah, she orgasmed in the studio, and she's really embarrassed
from her imagination while sucking his finger.
Yeah, and he watched her orgasm, which is embarrassing. And that's the end of it, by the way.
Yeah,
it ends with that scene. I think, are they going to date now?
This is like Lost in Translation.
Yeah,
they deserve their own intimacy.
At the end of Lost in Translation, Scarlett Johansson deserved all of that nut all over.
Yeah,
you know that scene in Lost in Translation where Bill Murray fucks her in a gymnasium.
Yeah,
after school.
That was cool.
Yeah. So what did we think of Koide Oshigoto?
It was great.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing about it I didn't like.
Okay. Well, that I have things I do. In retrospect,
in terms
I don't
of,
like
in
about
terms
it.
Of entertainment wise, it was very entertaining.
I was entertained the entire 60 minutes that we watched of this show. It's probably like low art in terms of just being the lowest hanging fruit all the time.
Yeah.
It just exists for you to get your fucking rocks off to. And yeah, it goes further than I've seen most shows go. But then again, I am not super exposed to like ecchi comedy. I'm going to throw that disclaimer out there. And I'm sure there are other better shows about this exact same concept.
I'm sure Declan might have more to say.
You watched a show very similar this a season or two ago, I think. Didn't you do a show where it was about where you had to watch a porn, like it was about porn voice acting or something?
No, but it was a show about voice acting.
There's tons of shows like that. And
this was, I think, either winter or spring. I forget what it was called. What is an anime voice actress?
A Seiyu?
Yes, that's...
Oh, it's something Seiyu?
It was something Seiyu. It didn't go anywhere like this.
Obviously.
No, it was... Very disappointing. That show is very boring, but this is good.
This is the most base episode of the three Weebos, I think, so far, in terms of, like, I don't care about the art. I just care about the most debauched.
No, this is like,
this is not even candy. This is like fucking cocaine.
What's the one that Declan and I watched, that 8-minute one? The school president is my wife, I think is what it was called.
It's just an ecchi show. But this has more nudity than most ecchi I've ever seen. And
it was like, we watched Declan and I watched this, and then I asked him, like, oh, Declan, did you watch that one show? He's like, yeah. Then we just looked and both started laughing just because we knew. Like, we didn't care about the artisticness behind it. It was just fucking
This is the rad. Most excusable I've ever seen, because I'm not usually like a sucker for the straight up ecchi.
Yeah.
But this is the most rancid one. I've never seen one that I was so offended
really
by sensibilities so much. And I'm like, all right, you did it. You had a thing and you went for it. And that thing was just be as fucking gross as possible.
Yeah, they really did it. They did a really good job.
They corrupted this girl. Nobody changes throughout the course of this except she becomes a bigger whore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. It kept me constantly baffled because I'm like, where do they go next? How fucking gross can we get?
So they didn't show penises. What they did show
was like a phantom dick.
It was, sticking where the penis would be in a perfect shape of a penis, like no doubt about it. But it's like this translucent rainbow.
Because she's never seen his penis before.
Yeah, yeah.
So the plot point is that she's never seen a dick because she's an innocent girl.
Right. I think they did it so.
Well, obviously,
the people watching this want to get their shit off.
Yeah.
And so, but you can't show a penis. So they did the next closest thing and had the phantom penis.
Yeah. I fully support phantom penis.
Yeah.
If you're looking to bust a nut and have a few giggles at just ridiculous bullshit, this is probably good for you.
Sure, yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a great show, but I enjoyed it.
I'm going to say it's great because I think all the writers totally new, and I think every joke behind this isn't just a weird thing, but the writer's like, this would be funny.
No, it should be noted that we did watch this together.
Yeah.
Also, which allowed us to
a couple other guys.
This is ridiculous, where it's just like, there's...
If I watched this alone, I'd probably get frustrated.
And hard. You'd be rock hard.
My dick is getting hard.
Yeah. The translation isn't super great. They translate something as FAP game, you know? Which is like, that's an artistic liberty to say that, because you know what this show is.
Yeah.
You can write FAP game in the subtitles, and who cares, because I'm just trying to spunk.
Yeah.
And yes, we can confirm that all of us did bust a nut throughout the process of this.
Without even
this
touching
show.
Ourselves.
Yeah, it's an amazing work.
With our imagination.
I think I learned something about myself while watching this.
What did you learn, Ethan?
That I like it when fucking, I don't know. I didn't actually learn anything about myself.
Yeah,
I knew I was already a sex pervert to begin with. So
I'm a man.
Yeah,
of course.
Great.
You watch it if you want.
I don't know if there's much appeal for you if you're not looking for sex stuff and bad comedy.
I'm glad that we went somewhere else in our anime watching.
It's the least intense thing we've watched in some time in terms of like, this is... Put filth into my eyes.
Yeah.
This is a pure anime experience.
It was nice and healthy.
I was having flashbacks to like when I really liked anime, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like when, it, like the my heyday, where it's just like consume bullshit, feed sugary Fruit Loops colored fucking shows down my throat. I want the most saccharine garbage, you know, like. And this was that. It was a completely enjoyable experience. And if you get buddies together, get a little bit drunk, it'll be a good time. Absolutely. Or if you're trying to jerk off.
Yeah, great. One of the two. Be with guys or jerk off.
Yeah.
Watch it with your girl. If she likes it as much as you do, you got to
give her have her suck your finger while you watch this
show. Yes. Yes. Dump her if she doesn't.
Dump her if she doesn't.
You don't want her anyway.
This is actually a good first date test. This is our advice for you. This is dating advice from Three Weirdos. Yes. Don't watch any episodes of the show because you want to go in blind. You want to raw dog this show because you want to experience it along with your significant other. Download or find the show online through your favorite legitimate streaming website and just put it on while you've got a lady over and just see what happens.
Right.
And if she runs away screaming and you get arrested,
I mean, then you don't want to date her.
We're not responsible. We hold no responsibility for your future incarceration.
If she watches it and laughs along with you, marry her. She's perfect. Don't let her go.
Three Weebos.
Three Weebos.
That was fucking in and out.
We should watch anime with girls.
Anime with girls in it, perhaps.
Oh, I do a lot of that.
Declan will be back next week.
Yeah. See you guys.
This is what happens when Declan leaves is that we just, Steve and I are like, I love this show because it's got fucking tits in it. This shit's hilarious, bro. I bet this show is terrible, but Steve and I watched it together and we just gooned out the entire time. I think Declan kind of is our lighthouse and just keeping us from just going to the most base elements of humanity.
We shouldn't let that happen. We really fuck him.
I'm going to see what this sounds like. When we're gonna go, but it might just be us like, fucking love this show. Fucking got tits in it, bro. Fucking titties around. I'm busting a fucking... Let's do a voice acting scene really quick. All right, I'll be the guy.
Okay, you got to start, though.
Okay. Hiromi-chan, I love you. Get your shit out.
I want your dick to mess up my insides.
I feel your juices and it's surrounding me. I'm going in deeper.
Harder.
I'm going deeper.
Pound my fucking pussy.
That's fucking fine. This is terrible.
I can't do this.
This is terrible.
we need to do this again. We need to find another fan.
Fan fiction. Through Yu-Gi-Oh! GX fan fiction theater.
We need to do more fan fiction.
Yeah, for sure. Write fan fiction of us and we'll read it.
Yes, we will.
We fully endorse fan fiction of us. I know you're out there, Robin Mascu. I know you've got thoughts on who would be topping and bottoming. So hit us up with your filthy fan fiction. We'll read it.
All right. And you can, do you know the emails?
threeweebs@gmail.com. That is threeeeeeeee. Okay, hold on. Let's try that again. Threeweebs spelled out.
Yes. Lowercase.
At Gmail. At threeweebos on Twitter.
We have a Twitter page. Yeah. Follow us.
Go to our YouTube page, which is, you're probably listening to this on the YouTube page. I'll probably record better bumpers to put in.
I'm not going to record better bumpers to put in. Cool.
All right. Next one will be good. There's going to be a segment after this that is us reviewing an album together. It's a really serious discussion of this album rather than goofage the entire time. So I just felt like it would make more sense to put it after. If you want to listen to an album review of the album Doopy Time by Doopies, that will be coming up after this bumper that I'm going to insert here.
Okay. Yeah, listen to it.
So yeah, listen to it. I had a good time discussing it.
So did I.
So yeah, listen to that. Thanks. Okay, so this week, Steven and I had to do road trips, and I decided it would be fun to have like an album that we both had to listen to during the road trip, because we drove separately. So I found this album called Doopy Time. I don't know if it's famous or not. I don't know anything about it. I just stumbled across it in my searches through the internet. I'm like, okay, let's give this thing a listen. I listened like a few tracks on it, like Steven would appreciate this, because we have pretty similar music taste. So yeah, we listened to Doopy Time.
Give me some background on that.
There's not a ton of background. Came out in 1995, released on the label 4Life Records. It is just credited to the Doopies, which are a fake band.
okay.
And it is the work of Yon Tomita. He's a Japanese steel pan player, composer, producer, writer. He's involved in like the Japanese music scene pretty heavily, but like,
sure,
you wouldn't know because not you. People
don't really know that
because like who listens to that industry?
Yeah.
So it's a, would you call it an avant-garde pop album? Not avant-garde, maybe experimental pop album.
Yeah, in a way. I mentioned before, my first reaction was it kind of reminded me of the Avalanches. So I'm getting that like Plunder Phonics feel. You know how Wildflower kind of feels like you're flipping through the radio?
Yeah. I guess it's more like into its concept, though. It makes it more obvious up front. Like this yeah. is about these two girls who are Caroline and the other one's slipping my mind.
I don't even know if there was a name.
But yeah.
But there's a narrative going on. There's a story going on as you progress through the album.
The two girls do, like, they sing on this. Mostly it's Caroline singing. And
Caroline's singing, but the other girl usually just talks to Caroline.
And they're like pop kind of, maybe art pop. So yeah, like, so the album opens with pop songs, and then as you progress through the album, it becomes more and more experimental and weird.
Very. Should we go through this song by song?
Just real quick? If we want to, yeah, let's do that. All right, sure.
All right, so the first track, it starts off like a prelude to the album called What's the Time? And that's just your exposure to our two characters talking to each other. You know, what is time? What is the time?
Yes.
You know, and they don't say what time it is. They just are talking about what is time.
So the next song is called Doopy Time.
That's where
it drops.
That's
Doopy, no Doopy, no Doopy, no Doopy, no Doopy, no. And it's just, it's saying like Doopy Time.
There's, I don't know what exact song they're sampling in this. You know, it has that broken record feel, just repeating the same thing over and over. It's a very harsh repeat.
Yeah.
It's not very smooth. But
it's almost like the introduction to a show about these two characters.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the theme song. I don't know. It's
really
an interesting
good.
Track.
I love it.
It's really catchy.
It really is. When I was worried going into this because, you know, like this album is over an hour long. I'm like, do I really want to dedicate a whole hour of driving to this? Especially when it started with What's the Time? I'm like,
yeah.
Oh God, is this going to be some like weird ambient shit? But no, it like when I heard Doopy Time, I'm like, hey, this is going to be a fun album. I'm definitely going to enjoy listening to this.
So how does it feel? It starts with this sample of a horn and like this, is it a clap?
There's some drums in there.
There's a really nice like loop. There's a nice sample loop that leads into the song. And then the tempo picks up and it becomes this.
Yeah. How does it feel?
It's a pop song.
Yeah, no, it totally is.
It sounds like a pop song of a long lost era, you know? Not made in like 1995.
Oh no, nothing about this album is 1995. Well, none of the actual songs are. I'm getting like a late 70s feel to a lot of these.
Maybe.
It's like, very Western.
It's very Western. It seems like it would be something you watch on television. You've still got a black and white TV, even though the color TVs are in now.
Yeah, yeah.
But so that's that
in
song.
In your ranch style house.
The next song is a reprise of that. Reprise of that. The next song is a reprise of that, and it slows down that sample and you know, really nice.
It fades you kind of into the next track, which is the beginning of the madness.
So there's a version of Chopin's Opus 28, number 4.
If you look it up, you've probably heard it before.
It's a slow,
very emotional, typical Chopin.
But then at the end of the song, it kind of has like these weird synth things going on.
Well, no. You forget during this, like you hear the piano playing and you hear like Caroline crying a little bit.
Oh, poor Caroline. The other girl's like...
You know, just, you're hearing the music, the piano playing, you know.
and that's where like the meta-narrative kind of starts, you know.
Crying, playing Chopin.
Yeah, that's where you start to get a feel for the characters and it's really nice.
In songs like this, like I have a feeling like it's just this other girl just narrating what Caroline's doing as if she's looking into Caroline's life through a window instead of like actually like next door.
Looking from afar, she's like, oh, yeah. poor Caroline. So the next song is allegedly the same song, but played on electric guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
it rips.
It rips.
It's really
it's
good.
Only 36 seconds long, but it's these really harsh...
Ooh, Jimmy style.
Squealing, you know, guitars. And it's really quite lovely if you're into like that kind of
rawness. It's great. It's raw. It's really good.
Apparently Caroline's playing guitar with her mouth now.
Yeah.
Jimmy style. It's fun.
So then we get into the next track, which is... a break from that small part of madness called My Spinning Wheel.
It's a
great song.
It's a love song. Not a love song. It's like a heartbreak song, I guess.
No,
like
that would be... Well, no, yeah, yeah, it would.
Because she's singing about like her spinning wheel that went away.
I mean, there's nothing profound about the lyrics.
The performance is real, though.
The performance, yeah, it's extremely high-pitched voice.
Because it's a kid. You know, I think, I don't know if we mentioned this yet, yeah, but Caroline's like a kid. Yeah,
even for a kid, extremely high-pitched.
So it's a good song. It's like 6 minutes and 30 seconds long, though.
It's long, but it's good.
It's really quite another quite catchy song.
Put that on a playlist. It works.
So the next is Love Songs, which is that song we were talking about earlier, which is love, love. And it's like all these samples. There's like 3 sets of samples. And the first sample in the set will be this same sample, which is love.
Yeah, yeah. It starts with a, you know, a very powerful, very dramatic, you know, orchestra building up, and then just some opera singer guy just yelling love.
But then it gets cut off, and then another sample comes in.
And one thing I think I kind of tried to notice with this was, even though it sounds like a completely rambled, jumbled mess, it all still follows like a beat. It's really cool. So it's not a complete mess. But after a while of just looping, it goes on for about 30 seconds of just sampling a whole bunch of different songs and constantly going back to that first sample. Mm-hmm. It just, that, you know, that long part, you know, they repeat over and over in loop and build stuff onto that. And that's when they start like talking about like, why are there so many songs about love? What is love?
So the next 3 songs are kind of, I would say, part of a set, which is where things get real. So Medical Service is a song it's got a narrator talking about how to examine your own breasts.
Probably just from an old video about cancer.
Like an old PSA or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's Dr. Domestic's Physical Effect number 1 and number 2, which Dr. Domestic is actually the creator's...
Did you look this up?
Yes, I did. It is Jan Tomita's, it's one of his stage names, is Dr. Domestic.
Okay.
So he has written himself into this narrative, which is pretty funny. And it's these spacey, I guess, like, soundscapes.
The first one, doesn't the first one also include just, well, they are soundscapes. You know what it kind of reminded me of? Ever heard of iDoser or something like that?
No, apparently, you keep looking at the mic.
Apparently there are pitches that if you listen to, just like, just weird ambient sounds, that if you listen to, it'll send like triggers or signals to your brain. It just makes it feel weird. That's kind of what this reminds me of. But there's a lot of really weird synth things going on that really make no sense. The second one. All right. So at the end of the first one, it's, you know, like, it's like this music is a treatment for one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Caroline.
Yeah.
It's a treatment. Oh, that was great. Give
I'm
me
feeling
more.
Better. Yeah,
I'm feeling much
it's,
better
it's,
now.
It's, are these girls robots? I started to get the implication at this point that they were like,
I have a feeling like this music is giving them some kind of like a sexual release.
Is it sexual?
Because I think there was
she
something.
She has a heartache.
In Medical Service, you know, when he's talking about like examining her breast, he's like, ooh. You know,
I think there's a little
bit of sexual joking in here.
Okay.
And the Physical Effect too is the same kind of thing, but I liked it a lot more. It's definitely more listenable.
Yeah. There's some tracks on this that are not ambient. They're not meant for like the musicality. It's meant to build this world.
Yeah.
The entire time, Caroline is talking to Dr. Domestic. So Time and Space, it starts with this organ. Is it a sample or it probably?
It doesn't. It's just an organ note.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a sample.
And then it goes into this kind of surf rock.
Yeah.
Almost proto-punk in a way. Kind of like heart rock beat. It's like, dan, 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 dan. You know, it's 8 minutes long, but
it goes places. It's really good. I definitely like it. One of the better tracks.
Then we've got 2 songs that I think are sister songs, Air Vibes and Air by Bus.
Air Vibes is great.
Air Vibes is a composition.
It's not even, I don't even know if there's no vocals on it.
No.
It starts with just a looping of strings. It almost sounds like a garage band loop, but I know this is 1995 and they didn't have that. So it's probably, plus it's Japan. Everyone plays an instrument there.
It sounds too clean to be a sample to me.
Yeah, yeah. It probably is just an actual composite orchestral composition.
It's nice.
Air Vibes is a great name for it. I can't really describe it any better than Air Vibes.
I think it's one of the songs that progresses like the least on the album, but I definitely appreciate
it. It's a good break after the 8-minute long
madness.
Hard, yeah.
So Air by Bus is a that's a dialogue. Soundscape for real, okay. And that it sounds like you're on a bus or a train or something, and it's like there's chatter going on in the background. Yeah. It's really quite nice. After that, there's Anti Kim sings "Now That You've Got Now That You've Gone," Jesus, which is
it's like gospel.
Yeah,
Anti Kim is a black woman. She sounds like she's from Georgia. Just came out of a clam bake.
Apparently, that's Caroline's aunt. Caroline is voiced by very clearly voiced by a Japanese girl with actually pretty, admittedly, pretty good pronunciation. But her name is Caroline Kovic, the character's name, even though it's a Japanese girl. I think it's charming.
This sounds like Russian.
Then we've got
Astro Age Steel Orchestra, which is I think I saw on that Wikipedia page part of Jan's groups.
And the song is Look for a Star.
Oh, it's just steel drums. It's just a steel drum orchestra.
So he's, again...
Like Tropical Beach, no vocals.
Like, not very like melodic. Calypso.
Yeah.
Jan Tomito is actually the first steel pan player in Japan.
Cool.
Which is a weird factoid, I guess. So it's he's bringing it into
It's like stock music for Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, it's very melodic. There's probably a song out there called Look for a Star, and this is just the melody of it.
Mm-hmm. After Astro Age Steel Orchestra, we've got Now That You've Gone. There's a ton of sounds going on this song. You've got horns, and strings, and...
It's very full.
I don't want to say, like, jazz-y, because it's not. It's more like...
It's like a... it's definitely, like, mid to late 60s. Like, this is the kind of song that I can imagine the Carpenters singing. It's just you have a choir, you have strings. Yeah, it's a full band that you'd imagine, like, a popular pop artist from the 70s. Stuff your mom probably listens to.
It's got, like... This sounds like a song...
Yeah.
It's got a good scope to it.
This is a song my mother would listen to. But it's really good.
It's super catchy. There's this like choral vocals like gone, gone, gone away. It's really nice. And it almost has like, you know how there's songs in Evangelion that are of this type? It almost feels like that to me, which is my only frame of reference for most of that kind of music.
Well, sure, yeah.
After that, we have Through My Window, which is, it kind of seems like an outro track to me in a way. Like, it almost feels like the outro to the show would be this.
At this point, it's already been almost an hour. I kind of knew going into this, like, all right, the album's probably coming
It's winding down, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got...
It's similar to Now That You've Gone, but it's in Japanese.
And way more low-key. It's the first Japanese song on the album.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's sung in Japanese, where everything's been sung in English up until this point. Kind of soothing.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's peaceful. I really, really enjoy it.
I didn't dive into it as much as I did the other tracks, though.
It's good, though. After Through My Window, we've got Someday, That Place and Time, which is Through My Window kind of leads into Someday, That Place and Time. The same drums at the beginning.
Same drums, same kind of sound, same orchestra.
It almost feels like a refrain of Now That You've Gone, where it's like those instruments are back, but there's no vocals this time.
Well, Now That You've Gone, Through My Window, and... Same Day, That Place and Time, I think are part of a trio.
Yeah, you could see them as being part of the same song. It's like Abbey Road, where you've got the bathroom window. What's the song called? Golden Slumbers.
Abbey Road, there's two trios.
Yeah. Golden Slumbers to Carry That Weight to the End are like...
Yeah.
Though that's like the trio I think of. It's like that kind of deal.
What's the one that's after?
And then after Someday, That Place and Time, we've got a cover of the Beach Boys' Caroline No.
Which of course is also the last song in the album Pet Sounds.
Yeah, this is the last song on this album. And it's a really nice cover of it. It's a Japanese vocalist, like clearly.
Like it more than I like the Beach Boys.
But yeah, it's a good song to go out on. Okay. It makes me wonder how much of this stuff is actually covers, and that I've just never heard.
I'm definitely sure some of these songs, like How Does It Feel? I'm sure like Now That You're Gone, I'm sure those are covers of other things.
But yeah, Doopy Time. I liked
it a lot.
It's a fun record.
It really is.
It's definitely like it really tests your patience because it is an hour and 15 minutes.
It is.
And at times it's just soundscape. But regardless, I really enjoyed it. This has been a very serious discussion of this, which is weird. I went into expecting this is going to be totally batshit. And it is totally batshit, but I find myself taking it seriously regardless because there's so much artistry to it. Like, it feels like this guy was...
There's a lot to appreciate.
This was a vision. This guy had a vision for what this album should be.
And it's more than just music. It's a story. It's you are getting to learn the characters.
Even though we forgot the name of the other girl.
I don't
Caroline's
think it was ever mentioned.
Caroline's the important one, though. Yeah. And her voice is
I'm picturing
sweet.
It's her in the middle.
Yeah, so the album cover is pretty ridiculous. It's got a girl's face in the middle of a clock. Apparently, it belongs to Audio Science Laboratory. Oh, that's right. In one of the final songs, it mentions that this recording is property of Tokyo Audio Science Laboratory.
Right, right. I forgot about
which
that.
Is pretty funny, which makes me say, like, is this an experiment? Like, what is this? But it's a good listen.
Yeah, it was fun.
Highly recommend Doopy Time by Doopies.
D-O-O-P-E-E-S.
Yes.
I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. Maybe a seven and a half.
7.5. Yeah, it's definitely a really good listen. Yeah.
The middle part got kind of slow after a while, but definitely some slappers on it.
Yeah, like the actual songs on this album are really listenable.
Yeah.
And as an experience, I really enjoy it, but I don't know if I'm going to listen to like every.
I'm going to go back and listen to at least some of the songs.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah. I'm not going to listen to every song on this because it's an hour and 13, but like. The there are songs that will go into my rotation.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Doopy Time. Doopy